Hey there, everybody. Thanks for listening. Skybook is giving away five $200 free play prizes. Sign up with skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before February 3rd, and mention code NBA1000 for a chance to win one of these prizes. Winners will be announced here on February 8th. Skybook is home of the free half point. Take advantage and move the lines a half point in your favor. Call 1-888-759-2665 and claim promo code NBA1000. That's NBA1000 at Skybook.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS Pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Armory Bold Calls NBA DFS podcast for January 18th, 2019. And I am your host today on this wonderful Freebie Friday, Boomer's Daddy. And joining me, as always, is the one, the only, the Lakers fan himself, Mr. Bear. What up, brada?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty okay. That was a very, very interesting end of a game last night. We just spent about 10 minutes going over the final, basically the final, 5 to 8 seconds of the game, reviewing it like coaches would in film, which is actually pretty cool. I wouldn't mind like doing something like that with some of these breakdowns that we do, being able to work those into some of our other types of shows that we end up doing. To kind of give people an example of how we view games and how we look at games. So I think it'd be pretty cool.
I'd love to do it too. And I think that's that breakdown that we did is beneficial for some of the folks that are trying to understand, like we talked about, you know, yesterday and the day before, specific game scenarios, specific matchups, you know, size, pace, etc.
Yeah, it's something that we enjoy doing. I love being able to, you know, go down and really break down our viewing capabilities, how we look at things. It's I think it's something that's pretty nice. So, kind of a light Friday, 7 games on the schedule. We've already had a very, very, I don't want to say heated because I don't think it got heated that much, but, passionate, discussion about some stuff that we will obviously, allow our viewers to see and our listeners. And there's just a lot going on. You know, besides the fact that Michael Beasley kind of forgot his shorts, besides the fact that Lonzo Ball, had a very, very bad last 10 seconds of the game. There is, you know, we've got some situations that we've got to kind of pay attention to, right? Yeah. One of those being the fact that you know, with today being a Freebie Friday, there's a lot that has to be said for, especially in one of these games, excuse me, because we've got such a high spread. There's a lot that's going to be said for how you kind of attack things today. There's 2 games over a 10.5 or 11 point spread. And I think with a lot of these, we have to pay attention to kind of how these teams play. Make no mistake about it. Vegas is very, very good about setting lines to get kind of to try to get even money action so they don't take a loss. A minor loss or a minor win is a win for them. Just as long as they don't get slaughtered, then they're great. That's where a lot of the sharp money and reverse line movement and sharp movement comes in later on in the day. But with just like Boston and Memphis and Utah and Cleveland, these are the two games I'm talking about here. These are really kind of telling games because neither one of these, like Memphis, I would give probably a better chance to stay in this game. Boston's a different animal at home. We all know that. NBA teams play better on or at their home on their home court.
Right.
But I was listening to, and I always kind of give this station a shout out on SiriusXM NBA Radio, free plug for them. Brian Scalabrine kind of had a really good point yesterday. He said that, you know, when you sit there and you think about it, think about the games that Boston has had to show up for. The Pacers, the Raptors, the Sixers, you know, the games in the East. They're like 6-2 against those teams. But, you know, they lost to the Hawks at home. You know, they've lost to the Timberwolves. They've been pushed to the brink by the Nets, the Magic. I mean, they just went on a road trip and came out. They thought they could come out like, you know, at worst you're thinking 2-2. At best you're thinking 3-1 or 4-0. And they went 1-3. And so one of those things is like, are these teams going to play down to their competition? You kind of see that a lot with NBA teams right now. They sure play down to their competition. That's really, like, at this point in the season, teams are kind of jockeying for positioning and stuff, especially out west and the top 4 or 5 seeds in the East. But it's the dog days. It's that last little grind that they have to dig deep before they get to the All-Star break. The trade deadline is coming up. You know, it's a lot of you know, very monotonous going through the motions type of thing, unless it's like a big game. Boston and Toronto, you know, stuff like that. So it's not a given that either one. I would say that I would put good money that one of these two teams covers, meaning Cleveland or Memphis. And it would not shock me if both of these two teams cover or barely missed covering late in the game. It wouldn't shock me at all.
No, I actually agree. I think it's interesting because the Boston-Memphis game is one that I look at and I'm like, there's no way anybody's going to play anybody here. I mean, you'll get some Kyrie, right? Because people love Kyrie. But outside of Kyrie, like, I don't think anyone's going to touch this game, man. And it intrigues me for some of the reasons we talked about. I mean, you know, I looked at some of the recent – so every time I see a game that no one's going to touch, the first thing I like to do is kind of look at what position those specific teams have been sucking at over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, something like that. Mm-hmm. Shocking, Memphis has been really bad at point guard.
Like covering the point guard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's over the last 45 days or so, which is what our ADVP kind of entails. Memphis is not good, which is really weird, like you were going to say, because it's Mike Conley.
Yeah. It's shocking, really.
It's I don't know, man. It's and Boston is still really good. You know, nobody's ever going to give put Kyrie in that conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. But make no mistake about it, when Jaylen Brown, when Jason Tatum, when Marcus Smart are on the court with him, it makes him better defensively because he allows them to kind of hide his defensive efficiencies. And Brad Stevens has got him to buy in on the defensive end a little bit more. He's not great. He's not going to lock anybody down. That's Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown's job. Well, Jaylen Brown is horrible this year. Not horrible, but not as good defensively as he was last year. But it's something that you have to look at. You can't just blindly roster guys just because of, you know, their price or the pace or, you know, stuff like that. You have to look a little bit deeper into it, which we'll get into, I'm sure, a little bit later with a couple guys.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a look at everything today as I reset here. I want to thank Skybook AG for sponsoring the pod again today. They are absolutely fantastic over there. I went and I made my deposit last time that they were one of our sponsors, and I actually did pretty well. I might get into this sports gambling thing a little bit. I'll never be like a pro at it or anything, and I'll pick and choose my spots if I feel something. But guys, if you go over there to Skybook AG, they're giving away $200 free prize plays. All you have to do is deposit $200 before February 3rd and mention promo code NBA1000. That's NBA1000 for a chance to win one of these prizes. Winners will be announced here on Friday, February 8th. Skybook is the home of the free half point. Take advantage of the move. Take advantage and move the lines half a point in your favor. Call 1-888-759-2665 and claim promo code NBA1000. So now that we've paid some of the bills, we will be referencing all of everything out of Skybook. Like I said, they're absolutely fantastic. We're also going to be, don't forget that if you're not a member of the DFS Army, use promo code podcast. It'll get you 20% off your first month, and you get a free, I don't want to say look-see, but you get a free day to use all of our tools outside of our DFS Army NBA projections and the Domination Station today. So you get access to all the coaches' notes, all the articles, the research station, the sim model that we've designed that sims every game up to 5,000 our times to produce probabilities of a guy hitting, you know, 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x. So it's actually something that me and you use a lot of. And we're going to reference it a couple times today. Since it's Freebie Friday, we can give some of the goods away on the pod. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Fantastic. I've had a couple cups of coffee. Can you tell?
I'm only two in. I got to catch up to you.
So let's get going here with the point guard position. Steph Curry, obviously, against the Clippers. Great matchup tonight. However, I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I got a feeling you would go there.
And it has zero to do with the Clippers.
Okay.
It has everything to do with the fact that they're going to be working in Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
This changes things a little bit. Okay.
I mean, it does, but I don't know that I'm scared of it because I don't see him playing more than 18 minutes, and I don't see 18 minutes being, you know, I also think he's going to want to come in on his best behavior. Now what happens, you know, 20 games from now, we'll see, but, right off the bat, I mean, you know, it's he's gonna want to just be like, you know, I don't want to get in your way, I don't want to By the way, huge shout out to my boy Oren for getting me this Lakers hat. And for first time watching our live stream. But I think, like, once Boogie sits down, it's going to go back to normal. I mean, I don't, you know, again, moving forward, yes, it might be a concern. And I definitely get where your concern is, because it's unknown, and we don't like to gamble on the unknown, particularly as stats guys, you know. But at the same time, like, how do you pass up on the matchup? I mean, so I was actually concerned for a different reason. I was actually concerned because I can see how much pride Patrick Beverley is going to take in stopping him. And is it going to stop him? No, but you've got a $10,400 player that is not going to be able to get off as many shots as he wants.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm glad you brought up. You know, you've got the pride of Patrick Beverley and now incorporating Boogie, who it depends on how they play it. Are they going to make are these guys, and when I talk about these guys, Scott Linehan, see ya. Peace. Good job. Is Steph, is Clay, are Draymond, are these guys going to make Boogie acquiesce to them? Or are they going to try to, you know, when he's on the court, allow him to kind of get involved to try to get their groove back with the bigger picture in mind that he can help them down the stretch, you know, going into the playoffs? So are they going to try to help him get his groove back? Now, that's the question. Now, like we said, we don't expect Boogie to play more than 15 to 18 minutes tonight. If he does, I will be utterly, completely shocked.
Yeah.
But so they've got, you know, they've got the rest of those 30 minutes that are they're on the court together to kind of do their thing like they've been doing. But let me add this into it. Steph is on a roll. Durant is on a roll. Clay's finally got his shot back. Draymond's moving within the flow of the offense. Oh, and you have Kevon Looney looking really, really, really good for the last week or so when he's getting good matchups and good minutes. Adding Boogie in there is only going to help them in time, but Steph is not cheap. He's not 9,600 anymore.
Mm-mm.
He's 10-4 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Okay. He is pulling it up. 10K on DraftKings. Like, that's elite level pricing for a lot of unknowns. Now, with that, it's still Steph. He can still go off. He can do it in a number of different ways. You know, he can go 7 of 9 from beyond the arc and add in 4 rebounds and 8 assists, and all of a sudden you're sitting there looking at a 45 to 55 point night, and that's just him doing a Steph Curry type of game without absolutely going bananas. If this game were to stay close in the fourth quarter and say maybe Clay's not hitting a shot and struggling a little bit, or Durant is, if one of those two is, or one of them's in foul trouble or whatever, Steph is gonna take over the game. I think he's still a viable option, but I don't want people to think he's some slam dunk because of a lot of those factors, like you said.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard actually has the best point guard matchup on the board.
Might be deceiving.
It is a little bit because a lot of those that time, Elfrid Payton wasn't in the lineup, so
yeah.
Drew Holiday was having to pay more attention on offense, and defense wasn't as good. His defense has actually been pretty good lately.
Hey, everything's been pretty good lately.
Yeah, and I mean, Dame hasn't broken 50 in over a month.
Right.
Actually, it's been just about a month. Now, he did have a 49.9 game there against Golden State. He just broke 50 against Charlotte. So, I mean, let's take a look at the sim model here for Damian Lillard. Okay. Because if we're going based on, you know, price versus value and all this great stuff, if you're going to pay up for a point guard, you've got Steph, Dame, and Kyrie right there.
Yeah, you do.
If you save the $200 and just go to Kyrie, he's actually got a better percentage a better percentage to hit 40. And then is slightly below Damian Lillard to hit 45 and 50. Now, Lillard does have the higher ceiling tonight based on the ADVP matchup. But it's not like it's that far off.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
So, it's...
And frankly, if you think about it, like, in Lillard's position, if he starts to get crazy, then you're going to see... We saw what Jrue Holiday did to him in the playoffs. Like, we saw.
You think there's a little bit of ownage there?
There's a lot of ownage there. And the thing about it is now with, you know, more offense on the Pelicans, you've got Randall, obviously you have Anthony Davis, obviously you have Elfrid Payton, obviously you have Nikola Mirotic, you have Etuan Moore. I mean, they've got scores to where Jrue doesn't have to score 30 points for them to win. Jrue will be happy, be like, you know what? I got this. Like, let's make everyone else beat us. You know, I got Dame. Let's move on. And that can legitimately happen. Now, if you look at Kyrie, like, yes, Memphis is a good defensive team, but they don't have someone that's going to slow him down like that. So, I mean, it's just, I prefer Kyrie.
Yeah, I do. Especially since I don't need Dame on a late night hammer. Now, I will have a little bit of exposure to Damian Lillard because Damian Lillard at home is always a type of Lillard that I like to play. Yeah. And I think that, you know, because he's sandwiched in the middle of Steph and Kyrie, he's going to be a little bit lower owned than what he would be if, you know, Kyrie wasn't there. But I mean, I don't mind the matchup at all. It's difficult. Yes, there is some ownage there. Yes, but
for sure,
Lillard at home is, well, there's usually a different animal.
He is, and there's another side to the ownage. Like, believe me, Lillard hasn't forgotten that, and there might be a little bit of you're not going to do that again. Kind of stuff too. So, I mean, just, you know, it's possible. So I agree with having some exposure, yes.
Yeah, and I'm talking like, you know, a 10%-ish type. Nothing huge, but, you know, a little bit of exposure. Let's talk about this mid-range here. Do you have any interest in Mike Conley real quick?
I mean, I kind of tinkered with it last night a little bit, but I kind of would rather just go a little bit lower to Teague, you know, who's been disappointing, which is why he's at 6,200. But usually when a guy comes off an injury and missed several games, you know, I like to give him 2-3 games before I roster him, depending on the injury, depending on the scenario. But, you know, before I roster him, and I think it's been, what, 3 games? This is his 4th since he's been back? It's just off the top of my head. I don't know exactly. But yeah, I mean, I would rather go there. I don't like the way Memphis has been playing. I don't like the way they've been defending. I don't like the way they're kind of pointing fingers at each other. And I could see a team like Boston kind of just coming in and just saying, you know, screw you.
Yeah, it's I'm a little okay. So Alvin Gentry, there was a beat writer the other day that asked Gentry, what do you make of Justin Holliday's grace period? And he basically kind of scoffed at it, and he goes, "Grace period? We didn't pick this guy up off the streets. He's a established guy in the NBA." I don't know if Holiday's a fit for this team, at least on the offensive end. I think they'd like him to take over the first guy off the bench type of role. But it's, man, it did not look good the other day to start the game. Now, later, and he's been with the Grizzlies, what, 2 weeks? And he got there, and then the first day, he either got there right before or right after the fist fight. Bickerstaff, not Gentry, I'm sorry. Thanks, Semp. But it's like, I think there is a grace period. Whenever a new player comes into a new situation, I think there always should be a grace period. But coming into a toxic situation like the Grizzlies have been over the last, 3 to 4 weeks, that's not something that I want to really put my money on when it comes to DFS guys, unless they're min price starting and going to play 24 minutes.
Which he did, and it worked out well, and we got a little bit of fortunate with some garbage time minutes, but he got there.
All right, so this mid-tier here for point guards is needs a little bit of unpacking. I'm talking about guys like Jeff Teague, Elfrid Payton, Spencer Dinwiddie, Derrick White, Derrick Rose. That little grouping right there of those five guys.
Give
None
me
of
all
them.
the give me all the Derrick White, man.
Derrick White.
Give me all the Derrick White. That's where I've gone so far, for my mid tier.
I just don't know.
Here's my thinking. Out of all the games we talked about, and all the games that are gonna garner the most, ownership and attention, you've got Golden State Clippers, you've got New Orleans, you've got Portland. You're going to have a little Brooklyn, Orlando. I think anytime Brooklyn's on the slate, they're always going to, get a little bit of attention. But San Antonio, Minnesota might actually be my favorite tournament game. In terms of, taking players from. So here's the thing. These teams are lacking on the defensive end. Now, as we've been talking about every single time San Antonio's on the slate, they've improved. But they've really improved at home. On the road, I love playing the home team when San Antonio's on the road. And it's been doing really well. Like I said, that entire game, like I've got a couple lineups already in some of these tournaments where I've got like three each, right? Three Spurs, three Wolves. Still on the fence about Wiggins. I don't know if I can plug him in yet, but certainly, let me go back here real quick. DeRozan and Aldridge pairing. I love Teague. I might even play some Cat, maybe play some Cat. I mean, there's just a lot to like in that. I mentioned Derrick White. Both of these teams, just defensively speaking, have not been up to par. Certainly, as soon as Covington went out, that entire defense just dropped because Covington's a monster on the defensive side. So that they really miss his defense. But no one's going to look at him. And the way I see it, I'm just like, not him, but that game. And I'm just like, I want more of that game. I think it can go off. Like, you look at it this way from a tournament perspective, with, 80% of the ownership being those last two games. If both or either of those game blow out And you've got San Antonio, Minnesota, who goes over, which I think they will go over. Excuse me, which I think they will go over. You're in great shape. So I'm just looking at it that way.
Yeah, Skybook's got that game at 224.5. When I first looked at it, I'm like, wait a second here. That's a high total. But then I sat there and I was like, okay, wait, that might not be high enough because of the fact that they're in Minnesota.
Right.
Like, if this was in San Antonio, that 224.5, that promo code that I said that you needed to use with Skybook, you could just go ahead and drop all that $200 on the under if this would this game were going to be in San Antonio. Being in Minnesota, it might not be high enough.
I'm telling you, that's exactly what I'm looking at. I'm looking at it as though that is a mistake. I mean, it's priced too low.
I would love to know what are I'm looking at it. I'm pulling it up right now. I will really want to know what our Beat the Bookie says about this. Beat the Bookie guys says that this game, well, they've got it at a 225, that the total is right on at 225. So, but, you know, we're looking at it at 224. So they actually like this game to go over the 224 as well, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice there. So I like the Derek White call. I really do. He's one of my guys that I'm going to be targeting a lot of. I mean, he's got a, according to our sim model, he's got a 25% chance to hit 6X. You know, he's got a 27% chance to hit 35 fantasy points.
Spicy.
You know, he's the, if I just sort and look at things, he's 1, 2, 3, 4. He's the fifth rated point guard tonight.
Spicy.
So I love it. And the fact that you're calling kind of a sneaky bear game stack here is kind of nice.
I like it.
So let's talk about some of these value guys down here at the bottom.
Okay. Who you got?
I mean, you got DJ Augustine. I'm not playing Reggie Jackson, guys. Just guards against Miami.
Hell no.
No go.
Okay. Hell no.
You've got DJ Augustine sitting here at 5K against Brooklyn. Yep. You've got Bryn Forbes sitting there at 4,400 in a game that we've already talked about. You've got Tyler Johnson against Detroit. We like to usually target guards against Detroit. And then you've got a very, very sneaky little Terry Rozier, Ish Smith, and Patty Mills sitting down here as well. I don't have a lot of interest in guys like... I've got more interest in other pieces in Miami rather than Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, same here.
If some of these guys end up being out, like
Jay Rich, Wayne Ellington,
then the conversation is probably going to change a little bit.
It definitely is going to change.
But, you know, it's as of right now, the way that we're looking at it with everybody in, I don't have any interest in Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Anybody else or anybody down here you do like? Maybe a DJ Augustine against Brooklyn, Bryn Forbes between these two guys. I mean,
it's going to be tough not to play Forbes at that price.
Yeah.
With those minutes, the thing about it is that Forbes is very much like an all or nothing. Like you're going to get like that 15 or that 30, you know. Like I'll be happy at some point with 25-ish, but it's really a good game. I'm happy with that. I also like Patty Mills. I don't mind that either.
Yeah, Patty Mills is 3,800 on FanDuel, so He's not a bad choice, and he's a drop score candidate if you want to go there. Anybody else at the point guard position?
I mean, you're gonna think I'm nuts, or maybe you're not, but I keep on playing Patrick Beverley today, like a lot, and I'm like, I just love. We talked about the pride thing, and like, you talk about elite steals upside, and the guy is going to get a lot of shots because all of the defensive pressure is going to be on Lou Williams. I mean, he's just got a lot of potential, and I like him in that game.
Man.
Yeah.
It's hard for me because Bryn Forbes is $100 more.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
Let me look. I'm looking on DK here. Okay, Patrick Beverley is 3,900 and Bryn Forbes is 44. It's more of a DK play for me, but Patty Mills is the same price.
Mm-hmm.
Now Beverly's projected more, so I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, probably more on DK for me. I don't mind it. Like I said, it's not something that I was thinking about. On FanDuel, I think I like Bryn Forbes a little bit better.
I'm like a hair difference. Like, it's so close for me.
Really?
It's so close. It's close because I'm just like, I'm at a point where I I'm going to play multiple lineups and I'm going to have just kind of like the same, you know, core, and I'm going to just rotate between those two.
Okay. All right, let's move on to shooting guards here. We've spent a lot of time on point guards, as we usually do.
Well, for good reason.
Yeah. DeMar DeRozan, 8,300 versus Minnesota.
Yes, please.
not a lot to talk about there, especially if Rudy Gay is out. Then, and I'm not saying that he's going to be, but it is Rudy Gay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Because DeMar DeRozan should be priced at 9K.
In this matchup, absolutely.
And he's at 8,300.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be hard to say no.
Yeah. Absolutely. In this matchup, he is. He's 7,800 on DK, dude.
Oh my lord. That's you're fucking up, DK.
That's okay. Let me tell you what this is. The highest price shooting guard on DK, outside of Steph Curry, would be Donovan Mitchell at 8,900. There's a $900 gap between Donovan Mitchell and Jrue Holiday. Those three, Mitchell, Holiday, Curry, are the only three shooting guards above 8K on DraftKings.
It's kind of ridiculous. It is. It's kind of ridiculous.
So, it's, yeah. I mean,
it's crazy.
It is what it is. Any mention? We've talked a lot about Jrue Holiday today already. Yeah. I don't know why the ADVP is so bad for him today, but I'm not really worried about it in this situation, in this scenario, because he can, you know, on FanDuel anyway, he can provide you more than just scoring.
Right.
On DK, it's a little bit tougher because I've got DeMar DeRozan sitting there $200 less.
It's tough.
I just don't know if I can do it. And then you got Donovan Mitchell sitting there above everybody.
It's tough. I mean, really, that's all I can offer. It's tough. I mean, you know, you're going to have a lot there.
Any interest at all, any inkling at all that Donovan Mitchell at 9K on FanDuel?
Probably not, man. Just because, like, I like Damar so much. I like Lou Williams so much. Am I crazy? But I like him.
I love Lou Williams today.
Yeah, like I love Evan Fournier.
Uh-oh.
I do. I mean, it's, I know it's crazy, but I do. Like, I mean, there's a lot to like at this spot today. And so I just, looks like Ish Smith is probable along with Stanley Johnson. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I don't see any way around getting DeRozan and Lou. I mean, there are other ways, but you know, I'm really fond of that right now. So it's tough for me.
So a good benchmark to have, mm-hmm. Is usually you want to target around 6x. Yeah. Now both you and I agree, and we teach all of our members that there is a sliding scale when it comes to tournaments.
Indeed.
Based on price that and ownership, basically, when, and I'll talk a little bit more about this here in a little bit, but basically it's a sliding scale with a chalkier guy on when a guy starts to hurt you and when a guy can, or when it's not going to hurt you. But for cash games, you know, a basic benchmark is 6x, okay? The top two shooting guards today, according to our sim model, to hit 6X are Lou Williams and Klay Thompson on FanDuel. Lou Williams has a 39% chance to hit 6X, and he's got the highest 5X mark by a long shot. And people will say, oh, well, that's just because, you know, he's playing Golden State. And no, this takes a lot of stuff into consideration as well. He hit 6X 39% of the time out of 5,000 simulations. Like, under 7K on FanDuel, give me all the Lou Williams.
It kind of tells you what you need to know.
Yeah. I will ping pong this matchup every single freaking time.
Absolutely.
So he's also, you know, when you talk about a benchmark of like, say, 40 fantasy points, just want to go there, then you're looking at Drew Holiday and Donovan Mitchell. But obviously, they're more expensive, and they are expected to put up a higher fantasy point total. But Lou Williams is right there at third. With a 44% chance. DeMar DeRozan, 44% chance. Klay Thompson, 40% chance. And then it falls off, like, to D'Angelo Russell, CJ McCollum, Andrew Wiggins. It goes 30, 19, 30, or 13 for those three to hit 40, guys. 40.
Right.
I'm not going to be out of these five guys very much today on FanDuel. And depending on roster construction on DK, I might not be out of there, out of that little player pool either there.
I'm good with that too.
So
I'm not going to argue that.
Now on DK, it's a little bit different because they've got some guys like Joe Harris, who's a shooting guard, small forward that I have interest in. Evan Fournier, like you said, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie is a, you know, combo point guard, shooting guard. So this is why we use FanDuel position eligibility. It's just simpler on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you're looking at Evan Fournier. He's 5,900 on DK or on FanDuel. I really love those top ones.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
I'm not chasing the Terrence Ross game.
It's interesting because I'm not either, but I want one of those shooting guards from Orlando. So, you know, if I can't get, I mean, and they're really close in price, so it's not, you know, not the end of the world there, but Like, I like it too much. Is that crazy?
I don't want to say it's crazy, but I mean, I'd much rather play, save that money and go down to like a Marco Bellinelli, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that. There's another guy here that I talk about and probably the shittiest matchup in the world, but us DFS guys love us some narratives, don't we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Alec Burks going back to Utah. Rodney Hood, who will be in the small forward, is also going back to Utah. Again, they're in really bad matchups, but I think they are going to come out fighting. They're undermanned. They're out-talented, if you will. Yes. But we've also seen this Cleveland team stay in games we don't expect them to stay in. So you talk about, like, nobody will play these guys or anyone from this game. I kind of like it in tournaments, man.
I love them. I absolutely love it. I'm not worried about the total. I like these two guys because they're going to get hot, or they can get hot, and they can shoot. Alec Burks, he's reasonably priced. He's going to play 27 to 32 minutes tonight. It's a good situation right there.
Agreed.
So, I'm so glad that we're on the same page when it comes to this Utah-Cleveland game right now, because we're not going to be later and it could cause some issues.
we already know that. Yeah. We've already determined that earlier.
Outside of that, I mean, I'm not interested in Jaylen Brown. Josh Okogie, sorry, thanks, but no thanks. If Justin Holiday gets the start again, he's not cheap anymore. He's 4,100. Let's see what he is on DK. Justin Holiday is 3,800. I like him better on DK, I guess, there. But he's the same price as Marco Bellinelli, so probably not, considering who he'd have to match up against. Trying to figure out which one of these Detroit shooting guards is going to be good is like spinning a roulette wheel and hoping that you can throw a dart at Minor Bear's face and hit us between the nose. I don't know. I think I'm outside of those guys down there. I don't think I'm going to be playing a lot of guys outside of Alex Burks or Marco Bellinelli below 6K. Unless it's Evan Fournier, sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we agree there. There is another guy that will depend on kind of what the injury news is. But if we're missing a bunch of heat, should I save it for?
Yes.
All right.
Well, actually, I don't think you don't have to today because the fact it's Freebie Friday.
That's right. It is Freebie Friday. So if we get a bunch of these guys from Miami that are missing, Houston's just missing all kinds of guys. I like Deion Waiters. I've been looking at Deion Waiters all day. I've been looking at his comments. I've been looking at the response that came back from Spoelstra. And I'm thinking to myself, Spoelstra doesn't take shit from anyone. And I can see a situation where they're like, you know what, Deion, we're going to play you next game. Show us what you got, kind of thing. And we know what he's got. Like,
after
I don't, like,
we find you.
Right. Okay, you're fine. You know, pay for your words, so to speak, and blah, blah, blah. And, this is what it's going to take. And show us what you got. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think from a tournament perspective, sorry, just reading something. For tournaments, I kind of like it, man. I've been looking at him, like I said, all day and last night too. And if we see some news that, you know, some of those Heat guys are missing, I might take a couple chances.
I love it. I absolutely do. So, it's It's amazing. All right, guys. So
That's amazing.
I've had my eye on Dion Waiters since I learned that he got fined. Like when that came across my Twitter feed yesterday, I was like, bang. You don't think that these guys don't play with emotion? You don't think that getting fined for him going off and saying, play me, I'm healthy, I'm out there. If I'm healthy and out there, play me. You don't think that they don't want to play? Like, Dion Waiters doesn't care, man. The answer would know this because he's from like the streets of Philly. Oh, it's yeah, I like Dion. Guys, don't forget Skybook AG, Skybook.ag. A great place to do some of your betting, your sports gambling. Promo code NBA1000 will actually get you into the contest for $200. As long as you deposit $200, you are entered that contest. Make sure you tune in on February 8th and we will announce that winner. You have to sign up before February 3rd, which is a couple weeks from now. So it's on a Monday. Let's look at small forward here. Kevin Durant, top guy on the board. He's also the most expensive. Then there's a drop off. I don't mind playing Kevin Durant, but
I'm playing a lot of Kevin Durant, Keith.
yeah,
I'm playing a lot of Kevin Durant.
it's one of those situations like, it's like this is not a hard play to kind of dissect or discuss. I like him more on DK where he's 10-1. And you get the 3-point bonus, you get the double-double bonus and everything, but I mean,
I'm paying 10-6.
okay, so we have part of the DFS Army research station here is we have a rating called the N1 rating. Basically, it takes a lot of statistical factors in it. It factors them together and it pushes out a rating. Kevin Durant is tied with Steph Curry at having the highest N1 rating today. Now, that might seem like a duh statement, except for when you have, Anthony
Anthony
Davis,
Davis, Nikola
Nikola
Vucevic,
Vucevic, and Damian Lillard sitting right there. It's a
Damian Lillard,
20. But that's not what stood out. What stood
Drew
out to
Holiday.
me was the gap between Kevin Durant and the next highest guy, which is Rudy Gay at 11. Or sorry, 12. Like there's an 11-point gap on this and one rating. That just shows you how good of a matchup this is for Kevin Durant tonight.
I mean, look, we've been targeting small forwards versus Clippers all year. Frankly, most positions versus Clippers all year. I want to play Durant and Draymond Green together in almost every single freaking lineup. Like those are my guys. And yeah, I'm a little bit concerned with Cousins and, maybe taking some rebounds away, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? 18 minutes doesn't scare me. It was a long game there, and Draymond will end up playing the five anyways. So for a lot of that. So yeah, I mean, KD, I'm paying up. I don't. I'll find a way. Like it's 65.9 for KD.
I wouldn't say that's not out of the realm of possibilities. It's definitely on the horizon. When you look at the sim model here, it tends to disagree with us. Now he's got a 48% chance to hit 50, which is good. But as far as, 60, it went down to a 4% chance. So it's not the end all be all, but like when we're talking about guys like over 10K and stuff like that, we pay attention to this because we like the higher percentages based on matchups and stuff like that. But I mean, where else are you going to spend your money tonight at the position? I mean, it could be. I mean, I love Cupcake here.
Yeah, so. You might have to wear your shirt tonight.
Maybe.
And so to answer the question, where else would you go? There's a couple spots here. Like for example, again, we got to see who's in, who's out for Miami. But if I'm not paying for Kevin Durant, I like Justice Winslow a lot.
I actually like both of them here.
Yeah, no, same. But if I can, right? Because Winslow is $7K on FanDuel. He's expensive now. Right. And he deserves to be. He's the point guard.
Yes, absolutely.
So you know, don't look at, oh, he's going to match up with, you know, Rodney Hood. Or he's not. He's going to match up with Colin Sexton.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's say, wait a second here.
Reggie Jackson. You know, the Detroit guards regardless. So right. That's something you want to attack. And for me, you know, this is what we call a cheat code. Like, he's not a small forward. He's listed as one, but he's a starting point guard. So he's going to go up against Reggie Jackson. He has an athletic advantage, a height advantage, a talent advantage. I mean, he's
IQ
got
a look advantage, a look advantage.
Definitely a look advantage. Reggie Jackson looks like the guy from Get Out. But yeah, I mean, I like it.
Yeah, I'm all over Justice Winslow, and like I said, I really like Josh Richardson here too. I can pair them up for the lineups that I don't have Kevin Durant, or I don't go down to, you know, some other guys that we'll talk about here in just a second. You know, I don't think that you have to be afraid to pair Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow in the same lineup, because you don't. They play two different positions. They can both run the point. Granted, they can both, you know, initiate the offense. You know, Josh Richardson, people are down on him right now. That's why his price has gone down. And this is a very, very, very good matchup, you know, for a bounce back spot.
It is. And also keep in mind, too, that the reason why his production has been down is because of the production of Justice Winslow.
Right.
Like when Dragic has been out, historically, it's been Richardson running the point guard. Well, they've found their replacement for that, and they're letting J. Rich be all the other stuff that he does. That, unfortunately for us, he's not. They aren't stat producing things, but it's great for the team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm gonna have to stay away from J. Rich, but Winslow just. I'm really high on.
Yep. All right. So Joe Ingles versus Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, untouched. Like, he's going to go untouched. And in tournaments that I'm playing Ingles, you know, I'm bringing it back with like a Burks or Hood or something like that. Like, I don't see. You know, maybe pairing Ingles up with Donovan Mitchell, although I'm not so fond of the price there. But if I'm doing, you know, some game theory stuff, if the game's going to be close, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the Alex Burks pairing with Joe Ingles. I also don't mind pairing up Alex Burks with Royce O'Neal either. You know, he's going to get the minutes. He continues to get the minutes. You know, he's got the highest chance to hit 6X in the DFS Army Sim model today. He's got the highest chance to hit 7X in the DFS Sim model today. You know, it's one of those situations where, like, he's 5K. If you need some value, then go grab him. He's going to play 32 to 35 minutes. And I mean, he's in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, any of these mid tier guys, you were on Gordon Hayward the other day when nobody else was. He came out like gangbusters and then petered off at the end.
Yeah, he kind of went to hell.
I was trying to make it keep it a little bit cleaner, but
I mean, my lineup sure went to hell.
I don't. Think that this is a Gordon Hayward type of day. It's Memphis. We normally target small forwards against Memphis, but these guys play positionless basketball, except for like Kyrie and Aaron Baines and Daniel Tice. But it's more one of those situations where, like, I think I like Jason Tatum a little bit more. And when I like Jason Tatum, I usually don't like Gordon Hayward. So that's kind of how I'm feeling there.
I'm not, like, I don't know that I like either today. But, like, you know, Hayward is priced right around value. He gets hot, he'll hit a little higher than value. But, you know, the pace is not that great. The game, the totals, I mean, there's just a lot not to like about too much here. But again, if I'm doing a low owned stack of this game, then absolutely Hayward's part of it.
Yeah. I think I just like, I think I'd rather play Joe Harris or DeMar Carroll better. You know, they're cheaper.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I really don't.
Maybe even a Jay Crowder, or like, he's priced high out of all these, like, value to mid guys, these mid value guys right around the 5K range. He's priced higher than all of them, and I like every single one of the other guys better.
Yeah, it's tough.
So, anybody else?
Small forwards. It's gonna depend on the status of Mo Harkless, but if he sits, I really like Evan Turner. Super cheap, good matchup. You know, runs the point guard, second unit, along with Seth Curry. I mean, it's a spot I like. And if you're looking for a high minutes cheap play here, you can look at Darius Miller in what's going to be a very, very high scoring game. Just the guy who can get hot. So I'm looking at that. So besides that, though, again, if we've got some guys missing from Miami, I've got to make a decision on which of these value plays I want. But kind of like Derek Jones Jr. again, especially if Jay Rich sits.
Yeah. Because they could slide him over to the three. They'll put James Johnson, Bam Adebayo. They'll switch those at the four with Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't mind it. There's somebody else in this game I like a lot better that I'm going to be pairing a lot with Justice Winslow. So let's talk about power forwards here. Anthony Davis, obviously, he's good at basketball. I mean, not a lot to really dissect there.
No, not much. Yeah, I agree.
After that, it's Draymond Green. I mean, I'm not really excited about Blake. I really do like LMA today. He's 8,200. I think his price actually went down from the other day.
LMA's?
Yeah, I could be wrong. I thought it was 84 or 86.
Yeah, it was 86.
Okay.
Now it went down, yeah.
And, yeah. So, LMA is going to be a big part of my lineups today. Oh. Montrezl Harrell is somebody that I absolutely love because I love the way he plays. He plays like his hair's on fire.
Mob Terrell.
As they would say in Top Gun, he's not happy unless he's doing barrel rolls, like, or at Mach 3 with his hair on fire. Took me a second. Something came across my screen I did not want to think about right now. It's never fun. You know, those guys are, you know, I'm out on Blake, but LMA, Harrell, Draymond, I like a lot.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Like, I can see. So that pairing is going to be fantastic. Dude, they're going to kill each other.
Oh my god, dude!
They're going to kill each other. It's
Harold's going to put on that Ninja Turtle headband and freaking That's one of the things that annoys me in the NBA right now. Like, who approved these guys to wear, like, ninja turtle or, like, ninja headbands and become the Karate Kid?
Well, I think Jrue Holiday started it.
I thought Harold did. You just couldn't see Harold's because of his hair.
Because of his hair, yeah, it could be. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be two guys that are basically going to be elbowing and bumping each other all night. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. From a DFS perspective, I kind of like Draymond a little bit more.
Is that just due to price?
No, but yeah, kind of. So it's part of it is price, and the other part of it is he's just a lot more involved in the offense, whereas Montrez is rebounds and that little mid-range kind of shot put game, and then obviously putbacks. Whereas Draymond has those plus occasional threes, plus assists, plus, you know, a lot more steals. And so he just has a little more upside for me, particularly against a team that struggles versus bigs. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Okay. Any interest in the Aaron Gordon, Jason Tatum kind of? You already said Jason Tatum, no. Any interest in Aaron Gordon?
I do. Yeah, I do. I'm even doing a little Gordon and Vucevic pairing tonight.
Ooh, no, thank you.
I am. And I'm doing it because I think, first of all, between the two of them, they are pretty much the team in terms of offense. You've got some Ross and Fournier, sure. But these two guys are leading the team. And if I'm doing a situation where, like, I'm playing three Magic and three Nets, I'm playing them both because I'm getting pretty much all the points between Vooch, Gordon, and, let's say, Fournier. I'm getting all the points from the whole team. And if I think this game goes way over, I want that. And Gordon is facilitating a lot more than he probably ever has. And so all of the points that he might not be making now because maybe some of the other guys on the team are scoring more, he's assisting on a lot of those now. And so I just like the upside there.
I agree with you. He's not trying to do everything all at once. But he's actually kind of struggling with those assists. I don't know if it's because they're not hitting shots or what. I would have to go back and watch the tape. But, I mean, he was on a stretch where he was averaging 5.5 assists a game at the beginning of the month. And that's kind of tailed off a little bit. But where those have tailed off, the rebounds have picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kind of canceled each other out. What my problem is it seems like he's settling for jumpers too much. Like, it doesn't – and this might be a league-wide thing. Like, everybody's wanting to take the jumper. What, like, some of these guys need to, like, adopt the Ben Simmons approach and just get to the rack.
Well
– and finish.
For different reasons.
No, Simmons, I know.
Ben Simmons can't shoot, so he doesn't have an option.
But still, like, yeah, that's one of the strengths of Aaron Gordon's game. I don't know if he's afraid to get hurt, if he's...
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I don't know. But, man, the dude's an athletic freak. Just get there and go. Get to your spot.
A lot of that, too, is he's got Vucevic pretty much hogging the paint along with his big defender.
He's had Vooch, though, for the last 2 years hogging the paint, and he's never had an issue with it.
But have we seen this kind of Vooch? Like, this is a significant upgrade.
That's true.
I mean, he's most improved player nominee. So,
yeah, that's true. Any interest in any of these guys under 6K? Jaren Jackson Jr., Derek Favors, Aminu, Marcus Morris is under 5K.
Yeah, I've been looking at that. I can't play Favors at 6K, no freaking way. Aminu is going to have a hard time here. I think you're going to see a lot more like Miles Leonard here because of his size.
I was thinking Caleb Swanigan.
Or if he's
Zach Collins,
or is one of those two. But I've been looking at the minutes between those two. They both play about 20 minutes each.
I was also thinking that they could end up sliding Aminu to the three to guard Etuan more.
It's very possible.
As well. I do want to see
something. Or they might put him on Drew Holiday. I mean, who the hell knows?
There's on Drew?
I mean, I don't know. This is kind of uncharted. What they're going to do here, we have to see. But because they didn't have these options last year in the playoffs, clearly when they got swept, so they didn't have these options. But yeah, Swanigan maybe, but I can see them playing more Miles Leonard over Swanigan. They have been all season. So I'm not really on Aminu so much. I do like, potentially playing Miles Leonard and or Zach Collins. Not both. Kind of have to pick one. But, I don't hate that. And then I kind of like Bam Adebayo, which is crazy because he's like 5K. And I'm like, how do I justify that? But, I could see... I could see Whiteside struggling again, and I could see – I also want to play Whiteside. Obviously not together, and we'll get to centers next. But I'm kind of debating which one of the two to go. Why are you nodding your head?
I'm out on Bam. I really am, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Guys, yes, I know we're running a little bit long today, but there's good reasoning behind it, and we're not even done yet. The best is yet to come. So, I'm not liking me some Bam. There's not a lot I love down here. I'm definitely not taking a shot on Derek Favors. On FanDuel, Jonas Jerebko will be a nice drop score candidate. He should see about 20-22 minutes again tonight with the faster pace. I don't know why Marcus Morris is never priced over 5K or 5,200, but he's not. So I'm going to keep playing him and keep getting that.
Yeah, I don't hate that. You want to talk about a drop score candidate?
Please don't say his name.
First of all, Zach Collins and Miles Leonard are the same price.
I wasn't talking about them. You didn't say it.
No, good. I'm not. Let me finish. So if you're going to play a drop score guy that can actually score, it's those two. But for whatever reason, over the last, and I can look it up again, but five games maybe, the Wolves have been playing at least 18 minutes of Anthony Tolliver.
Okay.
Whew. And I'm looking into it, and I'm like, oh, why? And they like his shooting. They like his ability to spread the floor, and they like playing him with Cat because for the reasons I just said, because he can spread the floor and give Cat more room to operate down low. So I don't mind that as a drop score candidate. I'm not playing him on DK. I'm not playing him on Yahoo or anything like that. But I don't mind him as a drop score. He definitely has the upside. We've already talked about how much we love this game. So I'm okay with that. Who did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say Dario Saric.
Dude.
I legit thought you were going to say Dario Saric. Jonas Jerebko and Anthony Tolliver are kind of the same guy for me. Both could end up hitting a 25 and both could end up hitting a 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, all right, let's move on to centers here, shall we?
This is going to be fun, guys. So
if you went to go get coffee and you have not sat back down and grabbed your seatbelt, you might want to on this one. Okay. Let's start at probably, I don't want to say both of our top plays because not mine. Let's start at the top. Carl Anthony Towns, 10-9 on FanDuel. He is a whopping.
Too much.
My gosh. 9,700 on DK.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 10,900 is steep.
Yeah, I'm not touching Carl Anthony Towns. And somebody, I forgot who, but somebody tried to put him in the same discussion as Embiid or Anthony Davis tonight. or today earlier, and he was not. He is not. He's not even remotely in the same conversation. Like, he's got the talent, but he's not the same type of player. He's not nearly as good as either one of those guys.
No.
Like, I would take about 15 centers before I take Cat on my team.
I don't know if I go 15, but definitely.
Okay, that 10. Might have been a little bit of an exaggeration, but he's definitely not my top five.
Just a tad, huh?
So, he might be lucky to break top 10.
Well, nor here nor there. So, for as far as tonight, top center for me is got to be Vucevic. Wow. Great matchup, great game. We've been talking about this game a lot. I'm kind of stoked about it. So there's that. I'm going to tell you my opinion, and then tell me what you think. But Nurkic, the DVP and ADVP are through the, like, dude, through the roof. Like, it's exploding. New Orleans is just giving up a ton of points. They're also scoring a lot, but I like it. I like it. I think obviously the spot is fantastic. The pace is fantastic. The totals on this game is fantastic. The emotions both of these teams are going to have going into this game. It's probably more Portland than New Orleans, but he plays for Portland, so I kind of like it.
I really do like Nurk today.
Excuse me.
And it's one of those situations where, like, he's playing probably the best ball that he's played in his career. He's a nice, now he's priced at, like, he's priced at where I would consider a ceiling. You know, there's not a lot of profit potential there, but he's a $500 discount off of Vooch. He's definitely cheaper than Drummond, who I'm not touching today. You know, you've got 5 guys on FanDuel over 9K.
Yeah.
So, Drummond is an interesting situation because he normally tears up, like, Miami. Like, he just tears them up.
He does. He does.
And thank you to Mr. Santana for bringing that to my attention, because I was completely off on him until I just saw the numbers against the history and against Whiteside. This has actually taken me off of Whiteside a little bit. Actually, a lot of it. And maybe put me on
Dre.
Not only Drummond, but Bam.
Welcome to my side. Woohoo!
Yeah, it's Drummond's numbers against Miami are just absolutely stupid.
I know. That's why I went with Bam too.
So, yeah, that just changed everything.
He's going to get lit, and he's going to get pulled, and he's going to bring in the guy that can actually play defense.
So, all that head shaking that I was throwing out there, that just basically was for entertainment purposes only.
Unshake. There you go.
All right, so Marc Gasol against Boston. I don't mind it. It's more of a tournament type of play if you're kind of stacking. We've talked a lot about the Memphis situation. Is there anybody, before we get to the main event here, anybody else you want to talk about? Let's talk about Boogie Cousins real quick. Let's talk about Boogie.
Okay. Well, hang on. There's another higher price guy that I like that I've actually played him way more than I thought I would. Julius Randle.
Oh, yeah, he's a given.
In lineups that I'm not playing AD, like, I'm not playing them together, but in lineups where I'm not playing AD, which is a decent amount, I kind of just went and plugged in Randall to get some of those points. By the way, Jared Allen is priced up now like crazy. So
yeah, not in this matchup because Vooch will pull him out to the 3-point line. He won't have a lot of blocks. I mean, he still could, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to like it's. I don't like this situation for Jared Allen. You know, and he's going to see a lot of his former friend, Mo Bamba, UT versus UT guys. And yeah, I actually don't mind Mo Bamba as a drop score if you want to go there. Not in love with it, but don't mind it.
That could be interesting.
Okay, so let's talk about Boogie here real quick. He's supposed to make his debut tonight. We've talked about it a couple times. He is 4,600 on FanDuel, and he is 5,500 on DK. Now.
Hard pass. Let's just put that out there.
On the main slate, yes.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
Yes, main slate, yes. I think he's in the conversation on FanDuel at 4,600 for, like, the after-hours slate. So I want to throw that in there. But and it's only because I feel like in 18 minutes at 4,600, he could still hit 25. You know, that's one of those situations. And that allows you to kind of pay up a little bit more. Because if you look at it, like.
Just pay less for the guy you don't want to play.
Not pay, playing him.
But if you're willing to pay more for Boogie at 18
because
minutes.
Because that's exactly the reason why. I think he can outscore him in 18 minutes on the after-hour slate at a
with
lower
Steph
ownership.
And Clay and Durant and Draymond?
Yes!
No. I don't agree.
It's an ownership thing on the after-hour slate.
Dude, an ownership thing? You don't think people are going to run to Boogie?
I don't think they will. Not with... Man. I was Zizek there for $400 cheap.
Man, people are gonna run and go play Boogie.
All right, so let's talk about him. Talk about this.
I don't know if Zizek is on the after hours late. Isn't it just the two games? Golden State, Clippers, New Orleans, Portland.
I figured it'd have been Utah, Cleveland. I don't know. I haven't looked.
We'll take a look. But either way, dude, like people are gonna rush to Boogie, man. Like in the after hours, it's going to be Boogie because people are going to be excited to be able to roster him for the first time in a year.
Yeah, that's true.
And for, you know, debuting with his team and blah blah blah. So, all right, anti.
Okay, so we've gone really really late today, but I promise you, we saved the best for last. Okay.
Well, and we haven't even gotten to the best. Believe me.
Anti-Zizek. Let's break out the boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're anti-anti.
We have to preface this in saying, Yahoo, he's $10. Play him.
No brainer.
DraftKings, he's $3,700.
Easy peasy.
You can play him. On FanDuel, $4,200. The main slate, where I have Drummond, Nurkic, I have Vucevic, I have Julius Randle, Rudy Gobert, Jared Allen. I'm not touching him. Not with every... Okay, so I get the minutes. He's going to play 26 minutes, okay? That's what we have him at right now. We have him projected at 23.71 fantasy points, which is a value of 5.65. This is on FanDuel, okay? If we look at our sim model, okay, Zizek has a 13% chance to hit 35 fantasy points. If we go to the sliding scale that we promote and talk about, okay, for our members, and we take 4.2K times the value needing to be 8.5 is 35.7 fantasy. Okay? I will take my 76.3% chance that he's not going to hit 35 and play the ownership leverage. Especially since he's going up against Rudy Gobert for most of the game. I'm not just coming at this as the boomer's daddy that, oh, he's gonna be chalk and I'm fading the chalk. I'm not coming at it from that. I have reasonings and backings to say this. And notice I said on FanDuel only. So go ahead. Sorry. We're good. I'm good.
So he's not a all-in play. Let's just be clear there, right? But his price allows you to go get Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and not completely have to punt and take a drop score at the center position. Like, you can differentiate in numerous other places. Like, who's going to play Zizic, AD, and LMA? Not many people. You're going to have so many other places where you can differentiate. I can speak for myself in particular, have been all about the value centers. Guys that are going to play significant minutes that are under 5K. That's what we've been doing since we started doing this. And so, you know, yeah, here's how I'm looking, is how I see it playing out too. Like, he's going to struggle versus Gobert. They're going to be down by 25. Gobert's going to, you know, go slap somebody in the stands and get kicked out. I'm just kidding. But he's going to sit down and rest. And he's going to play against, like, Favors or Ekpe Udo or whomever, who aren't slouches.
Udo is going to...
They aren't slouches, but they're not Rudy Gobert either. And, I mean, like, with some of the centers we talked about on the slate, too, I don't know that he's going to be, like, 35%, man.
I think he is, because everybody's going to go slap in AD, and then they're going to go automatically slap him in because he's the highest projected guy under $4,500 on FanDuel. That's got the minutes. He's the highest projected guy. The other guy that, like, as far as dollar per points is concerned, I mean, they're not going to go to Jonathan Isaac. They're not going to go to Etuan Moore. I could see a little bit of Jonas Jerebko, but he's not going to be chalky at all. Not with everybody there.
No, I agree.
You know, he's the chalk value option of the day on every single site. Unless something opens up. This is currently as of right now.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the first two things that people do. They're going to slap in Zizek. They're going to slap in AD, and they're going to build from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, but at the same time, like, I don't necessarily see how you want to pass on, you know, 5-6x. I mean, because of the things it allows you to go do, the things we just talked about, like it allows you to go up. So,
because 5x on my from my center position, you know, if 4.2. 21, you know, 21 to 25 points, that's not going to win me a tournament. The only way that wins me a tournament is if he does that and then 80 goes for 80. And then Durant goes for 65, or Curry goes for 70, or, you know, something like that. I don't need Zizek on FanDuel in order to, like, I don't need him to win. Because what I'm rostering him for is I'm hoping he gets 35 to 40 or he becomes my drop scorer.
Yeah.
And I don't think he does either one of those. Like, I would much rather go roster a Jonas Jerebko at $3,500, save the $700, and maybe get a two and play, you know, LMA or Harrell and Vooch and Durant and, you know, these other guys. Like, that's yeah. just my...
I mean, but all you're doing is you're shifting around salary. Like, you're saying, you know, I
and getting more upside
in that position, but there's plenty of upside in other positions is what I'm saying. Like, here's what you don't have. You don't have 4,200, 5.5x potential and more potential in those other positions. Like, you mentioned Jonathan Isaac. Okay, maybe, but outside of him, like, where else are you looking at?
I've got it in Etuan Moore.
Who we just said is probably going to end up being defended by Farouk Aminu. I mean, like...
Let's look and see who's $4,200 here.
Like, where else are you going to go? Is what I'm saying.
Patrick Beverly? Patty Mills, $100. Let's go 42. Let's go price dollared. Oops, not 4,002. Let's go pivots off of this. Kyle Korver.
I'm playing Zizic. Over him.
Evan Turner, if Mo Harkless is out.
If, then that's a no brainer. If, but it's got to be if.
Bellinelli?
Nope.
Yeah, I think I like those two better. Now, yep. Evan Turner only if Harkless is out. I'm like, okay, so guys, I'm not saying that Zizic is a bad play, and I'm not saying that he should be completely faded whatsoever. But if I'm looking at a single entry tournament or a three entry max, I'm thinking very, very hard about it. Because of the leverage that I can get if he's going to end up being chalk. Now, if he's not chalk, if something else happens to where, like, say Kyrie's out and, you know, Terry Rozier becomes chalk again at $4,500. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But as of the way the slate is currently constructed, on FanDuel, he's not the no-brainer that everybody's making him out to be. Not to me.
I get it. I don't know that I agree, but I get what you're saying.
Cool. As long as we get it, we don't have to agree, but as long as we understand, we're good.
Yeah, I definitely understand.
So, all right. We went really long today.
Yeah.
Which is okay, because it's coming out early, so people are going to have more time to listen to it. Let's... Oh, DeMarcus Cousins is not going to have a minute.
No, that's not what it said.
Yes, it is. DeMarcus Cousins will not have
will play in short bursts.
Hold on.
And will have his minutes monitored.
DeMarcus Cousins won't have a minute restriction Friday, but he will play in short bursts and have his minutes monitored. Asked Steve Kerr if he's going to start the second and fourth quarters. I'm not telling you that. He likely will. Huh? I'm going to have to hit up my boy Slater. He doesn't like me because I called him Cupcake Duo, but maybe I can get him to talk to me today. Anyways, we've got interviews to go watch on Steve Kerr to figure out this boogie situation now. I don't think anything's changed, but it could have changed the way that people play it.
Let's just, before we sign off, let's just pay homage to the GOAT, Ivica Zubats, and his game last night. And for those of you crazy people who rostered him, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but you rostered him. Congratulations to you. You won a shitload of money. he came out of nowhere, and you played Josh Hart over KCP. You know, it's cool. Congrats. Big win for my guys.